beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere I go, Walmart is full of toys for all the girls and boys, and Black Fridays are calling us to go. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Oh, soon the sales will start, and the cash registers, they will ring, as we buy lots and lots of more bling than we had before. Well, it is beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And if we're not careful, and I love Christmas, let me just give a real shout out to Christmas there. I love that season. But if we're not careful, we'll do like some folks in the book of Luke. In the 17th chapter, some folks that were so excited about something that had happened to them, like we get excited about Christmas, that they forgot that I believe in America, and it now is sometimes celebrated around the world, that there is a strategic time before Christmas that we don't need to forget. In the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter, Jesus has been doing ministry. He's going around from house or really village to village, and he's healing and lifting up broken spirits. When we get to the 11th chapter, he's on his way to the wonderful city of Jerusalem, it tells us. He is passing between the despised area of Samaria and Galilee, a beautiful, beautiful place. And there he encounters what you and I really would call the walking dead, leprosy. Leprosy in biblical times, and even still today, is still around a terrible disease. In those days, it was a death sentence, and it did not discriminate. It didn't matter who you were, you could get it. You were forced to live with other lepers in a leper colony. You were forced to stay away from other people because the touch of the hand or anything else could cause that person to get leprosy. They were not able to go to the temple, to keep the ceremonial rites, to be able to worship. In fact, everywhere they went, they had to yell, "Unclean! Unclean!" And people would flee. Jesus walks into a village, and the scripture tells us in verse 12 that there were 10 leprous men who stood at a distance from him. They knew better not to. Had they come near to Christ, they probably by the disciples themselves would have been stoned or driven away. And the scripture says that they raised their voice saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." I'm sure that those in the crowd that day were indignant. The Master has better things to do than to mess with you walking dead. And yet the scripture tells us that Jesus saw them. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that Jesus comes into a place and he sees everybody and he sees every need? Not you and I. I remember the AIDS crisis when it started in America. When it first came out, there were children that through blood transfusions had acquired immune deficiency syndrome. Nothing they did. They were shunned. They were sent away from their schools. They were, you know, people were scared to hug them. You're scared to hug an AIDS patient. It might get on me. The same thing happening. It says when he saw them, he said something to them. It wasn't go away, I don't have time for you, or you made your bed, or you just, hey, fate just wasn't on your side. He does something extraordinary. He says to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. Now, why would he do that? Because if for some reason in Jesus' day, if you suddenly became cleansed of leprosy, even if you didn't show the signs anymore, and with leprosy your fingers would fall off, the feet would rot away. You had to go to the priest, and a priest had to declare you clean before you were allowed back into society. Now, Jesus could have taken care of it himself right there, but he knew that he needed to follow kind of the way they do things, and so he tells them, he says, okay, I see you. Go and show yourself to the priest. And in verse 14, we have one of the most marvelous miracles at the end of the verse you'll ever see. And as they were going, they were cleansed. I can imagine that they were kind of muttering to themselves, you know, he could have done more than that. But they start walking, all 10 of them start walking toward the priest. And then a miracle takes place, a great miracle. People that were dead. Because leprosy was a death sentence, and it was a slow, agonizing, awful. People that are dead, people that are outcast, people that are not able to get close to God or close to family or anybody else, suddenly they are cleansed. He didn't have to touch them. He didn't have to rub spittle on their eyes, and not that he was afraid to. It says that they were cleansed. Verse 15, it changes. The whole story changes. 10 of them were going. It says, now one of them, when he saw that he'd been healed. Now they all saw that they'd been healed. And I imagine that when they saw that they'd been healed, they realized, I got to get to the priest as fast as I can. I've got to try to find my family and my wife and my friends and tell them. But it says, one of them, when they saw that he was healed, he turned back. And he began glorifying God with a loud voice. Can you just imagine Jesus is going along the way? He's doing his ministry, he's healing, and all of a sudden, you've heard it before, you're trying to have something, and somebody is shouting and hollering and running, and here comes this guy in leper clothes, and I can imagine that the group part, and yet he's different, he's been healed, and he falls at the feet of Christ, it tells us. And he fell on his face at his feet and giving thanks to him as he was a Samaritan. Now that just made it doubly worse. I imagine of the 10 lepers that he was the one that was the leper of the lepers. You see, if the others were true Jews, they didn't want anything to do with him. And they sure didn't want to identify with him as a Samaritan. They were a despised people. The Samaritans were the outgrowth of when the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, after they split, after the time of David and Solomon's death. The 10 tribes went their way. The United Kingdom of the Jews split, and the Samaritans eventually were taken over by the Assyrian army, and they were taken away, and other Assyrians were brought in, and they began to intermarry. They were mixed people. They were despised. And Jesus, in verse 17, answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the other 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give God glory except this foreigner? And then Jesus said to him, stand up. Get up. Your faith has made you well. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And the excitement of it and the work that's got to be done, the planning. We got Christmas play. We got adult Christmas plays and children's Christmas plays and cantatas and Christmas and Holidays. And then you got shopping and you got Black Friday and you got this and you got that. And if we're not careful, we're going to remember on Thursday, a week from this Thursday. We're going to remember because we're going to get together and we're going to be thankful. But are we going to be like the 9? Are we going to be so excited about life or so down about life that we forget to say, thank you, Lord. I want us to look at three things about the Samaritan very quickly, the leper very quickly. I want you to see the priority of his gratitude. I don't know if anything good's happened to you in the last week or the last month or maybe today, but there was the priority of his thankfulness. He was like the other 10. He had probably family he wanted to get to and go tell them, I'm back. I've been healed. But he made a priority going back and thanking the Lord. How often is it that something good happens to us, that good news or maybe bad news we were expecting didn't come, and we're so excited about it, we want to run and tell people about it, and we want to enjoy it, and we forget to stop and say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I get up every morning, and the first thing I do as my feet hit the floor is not thank you, Lord, for another day, because I'm not guaranteed the whole day. Just thank you for another morning. Not good, Lord, it's morning. He made it a priority. May we learn to do that. May we make a priority. He didn't wait. He didn't wait and go to his family and say, oh, I forgot. He didn't wait till Sunday to say, I'm going to come and praise the Lord. When God does something good for you, stop and thank him. I know from time to time here we've had a service and you're going, what are you doing preaching on Thanksgiving 2 weeks before Thanksgiving? 2 Sundays before. That's supposed to be next Sunday's message. Because being thankful is something wonderful. In fact, let me stop and just say to you that he made it a priority. May we make thanking the Lord a priority. Why? Well, because we need to. The second thing I want you to see is that the focus of his gratitude, he glorified God. He didn't just say, man, good stuff is happening to me. Amen. It's kind of like the lady who was shopping one day, and it had been a terrible, terrible day. And she's got to get home. She's been held up at the doctor's office. She's got to get the kids from soccer and another one from baseball. And she's got to make one stop to get stuff for supper. And about the time she gets near the store where she's going to stop, they had the biblical flood. The skies opened up and they had what my daddy used to call a knee-high gully washer. This lady begins to go, oh man, what else can go wrong today? And then she begins, Lord, you know the kind of day I've had. You know the kind of day I've had. Lord, it's been a tough day. Went through the litany of things. She said, Lord, all I need is a parking place close enough that I can get in there without getting drenched and get home. That's all I need, Lord. About that time, she's doing the thing. We've all done it. First place, right beside the handicap spots. Backup lights come on. They start backing out. She pulls in there. She said, Lord, don't bother. I found one anyway. We ask, and then we forget. It's kind of like the kid that was given an apple by a fella, shiny, nice, juicy apple. The fella said, son, I just feel compelled to give it to you. Gave it to the child. The child looked at him and said, peel it. He made gratitude his focus. I will glorify the Lord. And then he did it publicly. That's what I like. He didn't go, I'm going to kind of slip back in the crowd and go, Jesus, come here, Jesus. Come here. Thanks. This guy's having a spell. He couldn't have been a Protestant. Had to have been a Pentecostal. He's hollering and shouting, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. I praise your holy name. I don't blame him. But what about us? What about us? He was a fellow who was dead and now he's alive. What about us? Ephesians 2, verse 1 says, and we were dead, you and I. Ephesians 2, 1 says, you and I were dead. We were worse than lepers. We not only are physically going to die, we're spiritually.
spiritually dead. It says you were dead in your trespasses and your sins, and Christ made you alive. He made you alive.
What a wonderful word. Those which you formerly walked in, because of the prince of the power of the air. In verse 3 he says, And you too formerly walked in them, the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, children of wrath. But God, being rich in his mercy toward us, with his great love which he loved us, when we were dead, he made us alive together with Christ. I wonder, do you have a priority of gratitude? When you ask the Lord to do something and he does it, or you pray a prayer that you probably didn't need to pray and it doesn't get answered, I thank God for unanswered prayer. Some of you are going, huh? Listen, if it wasn't for unanswered prayer, my sisters and brothers would be dead. Now, don't look at me spiritual now. Joe, you and James back there, don't tell me y'all always got along. Okay? Tommy told me you didn't. And you say, yeah, I prayed, Lord. I would give anything if you just kill my brother David. I just kill him. There are some church members that wouldn't be alive either. The priority of thanksgiving, though. Do we make it a priority? If not, why not?
Why can't we make thanksgiving a priority? Thank you, Lord. Just another day. Thank you for bread. Thank you for air. Thank you for clothes. Thank you for a church that somebody's not going to run in a few minutes. And they can, folks, and they are, and they do, and shoot a bunch of us up. Thank you, Lord. But we take it for granted and we go our way. Thank you, Lord, that the heat or the air conditioning is working. Thank you that the sound system, well, I don't know, you can still hear me. That might not be one.
Do we have a focus of gratitude?
Is it more than just something we do around the table at Thanksgiving where we go, I want to thank God for my mama and my daddy and for my cat and for my dog and for this summer? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that 52 years ago, I was dead. Thank you, Father, that I was dead. And a man named Jesus came strolling through my church. And he offered me the chance to live again. And I gave my hand to the master, to the pastor, and my heart to the master. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you that if something like Paris happens to me, if somebody walks in and shoots me, folks, you can feel bad or whatever, and I hope you do, but I'm going on to glory. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Making gratitude a focus. And if it's not a focus, why not? Why not? Because I'm too busy living life to say thank you, Lord, that I have a job, because there are a bunch of people that don't. Thank you, Lord.
And do you offer a public witness? Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. You know, I'm not afraid to stand up here and say, thank you, Lord. I just kind of want to have a...
Baptists don't have spells. I just want to have a spell. Listen, folks, I was dead. I was worse than a leper. I was spiritually... You were dead! You were spiritually dead. You were dying. I was lost, and you were lost going off to a devil's hell. And Jesus came strolling through your town, strolling through this church, strolling through your life, wherever you were, and he said, go, come. Your faith has made you well. I don't know about you, but that's something to be thankful for. And that's why, yeah, Black Friday's coming, Christmas is coming. I love Christmas. The sales are coming. Santa's shining his sleigh.
But let's stop and just say, thank you, Lord. Focus, priority, and publicly. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Your faith is not a private matter. It's something that you're to wear publicly. Jesus said, shine your light so before men so that they will see your Father and glorify Him. I'm not afraid. First song I ever sang in church, I'm not going to sing it this morning, was I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed His name to bear. I'll tell the world that Jesus loves me and take Him with me everywhere. And when He comes and life is over, on to Him in glory I will be. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. Do you make a priority of praise, a focus of praise? And are you public about your praise? You are by the fact that you're here. Let's be careful as Christmas approaches and Thanksgiving approaches that it's not a day, it's a lifestyle. I think that's what the sign says, doesn't it, Bob? That's what you and Sarah put up there. It's not a day, it's a lifestyle. And may we be reminded of that, and may we be like that leper. May we constantly say, thank you, Jesus. I want you to bow your head real quick. I want you to just take a moment or two just to thank Him.
What do you need to thank Jesus for today?